It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is 57 degrees and there's a light rain falling. That rain is expected to become just a chance of rain this afternoon. And look for scattered showers for Wednesday and Thursday, partly sunny skies for Friday and Saturday. Coming up on the Midday Report, a Kodiak resident has died in a hit-and-run during this week's tsunami warning and evacuation. Cell phones across the region rang with the tsunami warning, including in places where there was no threat of a tsunami. And Shishaldin volcano in the Eastern Aleutians has erupted again. Experts say, look for more activity. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. A U.S. service member who was scheduled to return home from South Korea to face disciplinary action has crossed over into North Korea. NPR's Michelle Kalaman reports the soldier is believed to be in custody there.
Pentagon and State Department officials won't publicly name the man, but spokesman Matthew Miller says one thing is clear.
It was a U.S. service member who willfully and without authorization crossed into North Korea. The Department of Defense is, of course, in the lead because it's a member of their personnel, and we are in touch with them to offer whatever assistance may be appropriate.
The White House says it has reached out to Sweden, which represents U.S. interests in North Korea. The Associated Press identifies the person as Travis King and says he was in the process of being sent home to face disciplinary action. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Demonstrations took place in front of the Stock Exchange and military headquarters in Tel Aviv today to protest the Israeli government's proposed judicial overhaul. Other protests were held outside of the country's largest labor union, demanding the organization call for a general strike. Former President Donald Trump says he's the target of a federal grand jury investigation into the events leading up to the January 6 insurrection. Trump says he's received a letter from Special Counsel Jack Smith just weeks after Smith charged Trump with about three dozen criminal charges related to his alleged mishandling of classified documents. NPR's Kerry Johnson reports a hearing on that case is being held today in Florida.
Trump is asking this judge he appointed to the bench, Aileen Cannon, to basically put off the trial until after the election because he says jury selection is going to be very difficult, and he says the legal issues here in this case are challenging. Trump is running for the White House. He says he's got a busy schedule between now and next November.
Just a short time ago, the judge indicated that the trial would begin soon. Some of the nation's largest banks reported strong earnings today. NPR's David Gurr reports bank executives are nodding to the U.S. economy's resilience.
Wall Street is paying close attention to how higher interest rates are affecting the largest lenders in the U.S., and the recent performance of both Morgan Stanley and Bank of America exceeded analysts' expectations. Executives sounded optimistic about the U.S. economy, singling out the strong jobs market in particular. Goldman Sachs is scheduled to report its quarterly earnings on Wednesday, and in recent quarters, it's struggled relative to its peers because so much of its business is in investment banking, which has slowed considerably as companies hold off on mergers and acquisitions because it's gotten more expensive to borrow money. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. A Kodiak resident died in a hit and run during this weekend's tsunami warning and evacuation. KMXT's Brian Venois reports police have already contacted a suspect.
Kodiak police have identified the pedestrian who died Saturday night as 45-year-old Vanessa Jean Amox. Friends on Facebook identified the victim of the hit and run by the name Vanessa Malutin McCormick. She was hit by a truck near downtown Kodiak within a half hour of the sirens going off. Police solicited the public's help to find the suspect that night. Lieutenant Francis De La Fuente is a public information officer for the Kodiak Police Department. He says witness accounts and private security cameras helped their search.
We've located the truck. Our patrol division and detective was able to piece together the parts and was able to track the vehicle that same night. And we were able to communicate and make the interview already.
De La Fuente thanked the public for their help so far. He says the investigation is ongoing and no one has yet been charged. De La Fuente says traffic was heavier than during previous emergency warnings, partly because more people were downtown.
We had a lot of people walking, going up to the high school from downtown, and it was a Saturday. We have apartment complexes from the canneries and businesses downtown that we needed to evacuate.
He says one big systemic difference this time was the text notifications from the National Weather Service that buzzed residents' phones before the sirens went off.
The biggest difference for me personally was the notification from the state when we all have our phones have that obnoxious beep that everybody hears to wake you up that there is a tsunami. Then we followed up with the tsunami siren.
The department recommends residents maintain emergency preparation kits to include 2 weeks' worth of supplies like clothes, water, and food to prepare for future tsunamis. Since Saturday, some people have left flowers near the accident site. A GoFundMe was also shared on social media to help Amox's family cover funeral expenses. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
Cell phones across a huge swath of Alaska beeped awake Saturday night with an urgent tsunami warning. It said, move to higher ground or inland now, and you are in danger. Some people were supposed to get that message, like people living in Sandpoint and Kodiak, but others, like Anchorage residents, were not. And as Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea reports, emergency officials are once again trying to figure out why they did.
Alerts went out a bit before 11 p.m., shortly after a magnitude 7.2 earthquake was detected 55 miles southwest of Sandpoint. Mark Roberts runs the State Emergency Operations Center. On Monday, he said they know the phone alerts fired where they were supposed to, but also in places they were not supposed to, like Anchorage.
The system worked. It just worked larger area than it should have. Our default is always to be safe. So we don't consider it a failure when folks are alerted to a tsunami warning that aren't in the warning area.
Robert says it isn't clear yet who was affected that shouldn't have been, or how many devices were activated. The system doesn't give that sort of feedback. Broader versions of this played out in Alaska after earthquakes and tsunami warnings in 2018 and 2020. People got the alert who didn't live where a tsunami could hit. Roberts says a lot of debriefs are underway with officials from multiple agencies. He says the National Phone Alert System has been being refined for more precise geographic targeting, but those improvements don't always work on Alaska infrastructure.
And that's something the National Weather Service is investigating this morning for the reasons for that and whether there's any refinements that can be made towards that.
He says there are a lot of variables that affect who receives the signal, including your phone carrier, what type of phone you have, how far from a cell phone tower you are, and the tower itself. Robert says decisions to sound tsunami sirens, order evacuations, and activate shelters were up to local officials in each community. Sirens wailed in Homer and Sandpoint. In Kodiak, city police asked residents to go to high ground and stay there. Over the next 2 hours, the National Tsunami Warning Center put out revised advice on its website, narrowing the areas expected to be affected. And on Twitter, the National Weather Service sent out a string of messages about who, despite the initial phone alert, would not see impacts, like Anchorage residents. A wave eventually hit King Cove and Sandpoint. It was only 6 inches high. Roberts cautioned that it's important for Alaskans to remain vigilant. When earthquakes happen close to coastal areas, he says tsunamis can arrive faster than emergency messages. He says if an earthquake is strong enough to knock you off your feet or shakes you for more than 20 seconds,
you need to use that as your warning and take action to get to high ground. There may not be time for the tsunami warning to be disseminated.
Destructive tsunamis in Alaska are rare. The last death attributed to a tsunami in Alaska was in Skagway in 1994. A massive underwater landslide along Skagway's harbor sent a roughly 30-foot wave across the waterfront, killing a construction worker from Homer and causing more than $20 million of damage. The next most recent fatal tsunami event followed the Good Friday earthquake in 1964. Federal officials attribute 106 deaths in Alaska to that tsunami. In Anchorage, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And Shishaldin Volcano in the eastern Aleutians had a large eruption over the weekend. The volcano on Unimak Island emitted a continuous ash plume, raising alert levels Saturday night. The high alert lasted a few hours till explosive activity declined. There were no reports of ash fall in nearby communities, the closest one being False Pass, 23 miles away. Experts will continue monitoring the volcano. Shishaldin activity changes quickly, says Nick Schwartz, lead forecaster for the National Weather Service.
This morning, I mean, it went from basically nothing to a plume at a height of over 35,000 feet in a matter of 10 minutes.
Hannah Dietrich is a research geophysicist with the U.S. Geological Survey. She says Shishaldin is what they call an open system.
The pathway of magma to the surface is relatively almost easy. So those eruptions can happen with less warning time than other systems.
Dietrich says volcanic eruptions can last many months, so be prepared, whether it be to protect yourself from ashfall or to be flexible with travel plans due to possible flight cancellations.
It's a pretty active place. We have a lot of earthquakes, too. We have exciting weather all the time. It's part of the Alaska experience, I think.
Alaska Volcano Observatory officials say Saturday night's 7.2 earthquake that happened near Sand Point was not related to the volcano, and the earthquake did not trigger the large ash eruption, even though the two were just hours apart. In the mid-80s, three villages broke away from the Lower Kuskokwim School District and formed the Ubeet School District. The mission was a different vision of education, one that more fully embraced traditional Native knowledge. And as KYUK's Evan Erickson reports, they've successfully fought for a new calendar this year, one that gives students the freedom to participate in seasonal subsistence harvests.
It's late June in Akiachuk, and the school is in its first week of a summer culture camp. Teachers and elders meet students at a large cutting table near the teacher housing. Originally, the morning catch was supposed to be processed at a nearby community fish camp, but those plans were scrapped because a black bear was hanging around. Literacy coach Evelyn Esmalka wields a large ulu as she explains the differences between chum, chinook, and sockeye salmon to the small group of children.
With the king shin one and red shin one.
After this lesson, the kids are going fishing for salmon on the nearby Kuskokwim River.
This will be for the winter supply of fish supplement, the lunch program.
After the fish are cleaned, they are loaded into the back of a beat-up truck to be dropped off at the school's walk-in freezer. Salmon blood, to be returned back to the river, sloshes around in plastic totes as the truck lurches along Akiachuk's heavily potholed main drag. Woody Woodgate, the school district's federal programs director, says staff favor indigenous foods in the district's cafeterias.
And not really taking away anything from the USDA and the school lunch program, but you know, most of that stuff that's on those menus are designed for, you know, people in big cities or lower 48, and a lot of it just goes into the trash can because if kids don't want to eat the food, so if we can supplement using fish and moose, and especially fish and moose that the kids catch.
In the mid-80s, three villages, Akiachuk, Akiak, and Tuluksak, broke away from the Lower Kuskokwim School District and formed the Ubeet School District. The mission was a different vision of education, one that more fully embraced traditional Native knowledge. In the nearly 40 years since the Ubeet School District was formed, nothing has come easy. The district has faced chronic issues with funding, teacher turnover, low attendance, and low test scores, often leading to friction with the state education department. But they're working to change that. This year was the district's first under the new subsistence calendar. School leaders spent much of 2022 working to get it approved by the state.
Sometimes things take a little bit longer than maybe that we want, but in the end, you know, we were able to get what we were wanting to be able to apply to our school district, rightfully so.
Now, students begin the school year about a month later than other districts in the state, and they finish roughly a month earlier. They make up the difference with an extra half hour of instruction each day. This allows them to take part in the fall moose hunt and the spring migratory bird harvest. The strategy is to pass along traditional knowledge that cannot be gained in the classroom, but it is also aimed at addressing poor attendance issues during these seasonal harvests. With the exception of sockeye, the salmon runs on the Kuskokwim River are crashing, and today is one of the limited opportunities to fish for them. But time is ticking away on the 12-hour salmon fishing opener, so the order of the day is making sure that kids who aren't already on the river get a chance to take part in the harvest.
The older kids are out already fishing with their families, so these are, let's see, second grade, third grader, and three fourth graders. So getting them out here.
That's Baron Sample, now in his third year as principal at the Akiachuk School.
Now for some of them, this has been the first time they're actually out here on the river doing this.
The 24-foot boat is one of three owned by the school district.
There's three schools in our school district, Akiak, Tulksak, and us, Akiachuk. So I know in a little competition with the other schools. Well, how many did you catch today?
After a 150-foot gill net is unfurled, the boat drifts slowly down the river. The children intently watch a line of buoys for signs of life.
That red one right there in front of us, it keeps moving.
Oh, right there! Three more!
They're going to have quite a story to tell when they go home.
Three. Yep. If I were a fish, I would have just jumped over it.
While the first drift only yields two fish, the second brings in around a dozen, a mixture of reds, kings, and chums.
That's a king salmon!
We have so much fish.
Yeah.
Of course it's dying.
I want to fish again.
You too.
I
want to
fish again.
This is actually a good spot to fish.
While some of the young culture campers seemed to be getting serious about the fishing, others were busy making jokes.
I heard bubbles.
Does that mean a fish is there?
Maybe you farted in the ocean.
As the boat drifted down the river, Sample talked about the journey that led him to Alaska from Maryland back in 2008 to accept a job as a teacher in a village with fewer than 500 residents.
I think part of it was I grew up in the military and moved around a lot. Wherever you are, you make it home.
Sample is an exception to the constant turnover that plagues the state.
I mean, that was actually one of my big reasons to move into becoming administrator here, was that over the years I've seen a principal do one year, 2 years, and they're gone. So, I mean, having the stability, the institutional memory, our kids deserve that, and I felt that's really the driving focus for me being here.
The kids have been out on the river for a couple hours, and it's time to head in. So Sample calls for the school's truck to come meet the boat.
Hey, Woody, can you come to the gas station? We'll unload you with what we have, and then let the kids go head back up.
With only a matter of hours before the Kuskokwim River again closes to salmon fishing, the village of Akiachuk feels like a ghost town. But along the river, the fish camps are buzzing with activity as families process the day's harvest in a way that has changed little over the centuries. In Akiachuk, I'm Evan Erickson.
A plane crashed during an emergency landing on the highway in Ninilchik last Wednesday, but Alaska State Troopers say, despite flipping over a guardrail, the pilot and passenger were uninjured. About 4 p.m. Wednesday, troopers say they received a report of an aircraft crash at mile 138 of the Sterling Highway, just south of Ninilchik. They say The 1946 Aeronica single-engine aircraft experienced engine trouble and made an emergency landing on the Sterling Highway. However, just after landing, the plane struck a guardrail and flipped over into a ditch. Troopers were unable to answer questions about where the aircraft came from and where it was going, or whether there were any impacts to vehicles on the highway before airtime.
We will probably avoid a recession. I'm Nobisapo with the Marketplace Minute. The likelihood of a downturn this year is eroding right alongside inflation. In a research note, Goldman Sachs expects slowing economic growth, but still growth. The bank has reduced the chance of a recession to 20%. And it's stats like June's retail sales figures that are encouraging Goldman Sachs economists. The Commerce Department today said retail sales rose 0.2% over the month before. That tracks June's inflation reading, suggesting consumers are generally keeping up with price increases. The Federal Communications Commission wants to create a label for smart devices, such as televisions and security cameras, that are harder to hack. This would be similar to the Energy Star label. I'm Novosavo with Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by JLL, providing commercial real estate leasing and management. JLL.com.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 18th day of July, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 5:37. It will set again at 10:53. That will give us 17 hours and 16 minutes of daylight, a loss of 3 minutes and 21 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 78 degrees set in 2016. And a record low is 35, set in 1927. 57 degrees presently in Kodiak under a light rain. They have 9 miles of visibility out at the airport and northwest winds to 6 miles per hour, as well as 93% humidity. The Weather Service is calling for a 40% chance of rain this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, high near 64 with northwest winds to 10. 30% chance of rain tonight, mainly after 10 p.m. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 52, north winds to 5. And scattered showers for Wednesday and Thursday with partly sunny skies predicted for Friday and Saturday, going to mostly cloudy for Sunday and Monday. Let's check to see what the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has to say.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 20, date issued 10 a.m. on July 17th. There will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, July 18th, until 9 p.m. Thursday, July 20th, in the Inner Katoy Bay section of the Afognak District. Closed waters in the Inner Katoy Bay section will be the fish and game markers located at Little Katoy Bay and Big Katoy Bays near stream numbers 252, 323, and 252, 324. As previously announced, there will be an 81-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Monday, July 17th, until 9 p.m. Thursday, July 20th, in the Outer Katoy Bay section of the Afognak District. And there will be a 72-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Monday, July 17th, until 9 p.m. Thursday, July 20th, in the following areas in the Duck Bay and Iseuit Bay sections of the Afognak District. The following areas will close to commercial salmon fishing at 9 p.m. Monday, July 17th. The Outer Iakuluk and Halibut Bay sections of the Southwest Kodiak District. The Northwest Kodiak District, except for the Kujawiak Bay section, will remain closed. The Northeast Kodiak District, except for the Buskin River section, will remain closed. The Eastside Kodiak District, except for Passaic Bay, will remain closed. And the Southeast Afognak, Southwest Afognak, Northwest Afognak, Raspberry Strait, Shuyak Island, Paul's Bay, Paranosa Bay, and Northeast Afognak sections of the Afognak District. The seaward zones of the Olinchak Bay, Katmai, Dakovac Bay, Outer Kukak Bay, Hallow Bay, and Big River sections of the Mainland District, and the seaward zones of the Northwest Afognak and Shuyak Island sections of the Afognak District closed to commercial salmon fishing at 11:30 a.m. Saturday, July 15th. The Spiriton Bay Special Harvest Area remains open until further notice. Closed waters for Saltry Creek, stream number 259415, are the normal closed waters as described in regulation until 9 p.m. Monday, July 17th. Until further notice, within the Kodiak area, only that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak districts south of a latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Concerning the North Shelikof Strait fishery, short notice, in-period closures may occur for seine fisheries in the seaward zones of the Cape Igvac and southwest Fognak sections as designated in the North Shelikof Strait Sockeye Salmon Management Plan. Closure announcements may occur at 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, 2 p.m., 5 p.m., or 8 p.m. on VHF Channel 6. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart, detailed commercial salmon fishing regulations and statistical charts. Harvest strategies and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour cordophone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Mariners, here is your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles. North winds to 20 knots today, seas to 5 feet. Northeast 15 tonight with 3-foot seas, and northeast 15 tomorrow, seas coming up to 4 feet tomorrow. Over in the Shelikof Strait, variable 10 today with 2-foot seas. For tonight, southwest 20 becoming northeast after midnight with 3-foot seas. And for tomorrow, variable 10, seas to 3 feet. The following are upcoming Kodiak Island Borough public meetings. On Wednesday, July 19th, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having their regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. On Thursday, July 20th, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a special work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers. That will be happening at 5 p.m. Immediately after the special work session, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a regular meeting. That meeting is scheduled to begin at 6:30 p.m. On Monday, July 24th, the Fire Protection Area No. 1 Board will be having its regular meeting in the Bayside Fire Station at 6 p.m. On Tuesday, July 25th, the Parks and Recreation regular meeting will be held at the Borough Conference Room at 2:30 p.m. On Wednesday, July 26th, the Solid Waste Advisory Board will be having its regular meeting in the Kodiak Fisheries Research Center's conference room at 5:15 p.m. And on Thursday, July 27th, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All these meetings are open to the public, and the meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough's website. Contact the Borough Clerk's office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. And remember, assembly meetings are live streamed on the Kodiak Island Borough YouTube channel. Subscribe to get live stream notifications. The KMXT Board of Directors will be holding their next regular monthly meeting tonight at 6 p.m. here at the KMXT studio and office. The meeting is open to the public, and members are always encouraged to attend. And who knows, maybe they can hold it outside, weather permitting. If you'd like to attend, call for details here at the station at 907-486-3181. Also this afternoon at the library, they will be showing the film Keep Talking for Film Club. Keep Talking follows four Alaska Native women fighting to save the Lutik language. Share your thoughts, interpretations, and insights into the film. It's for ages 13 and over. Again, that's at 5:30 p.m. tonight at the library. On Saturday at 1 p.m., join the library for campfire stories and songs. Gather around a real or virtual campfire to listen to captivating tales told by librarians and guest storytellers. For all ages, children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. Call the library at 486-8686 to sign up. But again, that's next Saturday at 1 p.m. Wednesdays at 3:30 p.m., the library offers their famous Lego Club. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. Thursdays at 10:30 a.m., the library is hosting preschool story time. It's for kids ages 3 to 6. And this Thursday, July 20th, at 3 p.m., the library will be having its next chess club meeting. Drop in to learn, practice, or sharpen your chess skills in a cozy, friendly environment. No experience is necessary, and it's open to all ages.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.